Amen. All right, we're teaching on supernatural church. The scripture that we're reading comes from Isaiah 8 and 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, what we said about this is we are this Joshua generation. We're the people that are going into this promised land, people that have been prophetically spoken about in the years past, and that we are going in to possess our inheritance unapologetically. That I'm calling this subtopic restoration of the supernatural. Now, what has been happening is that the church has been a lot what I call traditional, and that we just, you know, come to church just as a tradition to come to church. But really, most of what God had intended for our lives, we've not been experiencing. Now, we've been experiencing some relief, but God has much more for us that we should be experiencing. But the key is that the only way you're going to be able to experience it is by faith. So, because faith has not really been flourishing, that's in the past now, we claim it's going to happen right now, that most of what God has planned for our life has not been completely manifested. So, we have to understand that there is a possession, something that God has given us that we are supposed to possess, and that this meeting that I'm having with you is to teach you how to possess it. And when I start turning away from what seems logical, it's because it's the Word of God. I'm saying that because logic, human logic and faith are on two different sides of the spectrum. And that a lot of times when I start talking faith, people either start wondering where this preacher going with this or something. But I want to let you know that what I'm giving you does not fit into genetically altered Christianity. See, this what I'm giving you is something that has not been tampered with. I want you to not try to bring the word down to your thinking, but take your thinking up to the Word of God. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. So we should be believing and experiencing a supernatural lifestyle. This is not something that occurs once every Christmas. This is something that God wants to do in your life every day. And people should see it and be drawn to your God. Say amen to that. All right, so now, as we do this and as we go through here, what we discovered is that we have to know not only whose we are, but we need to know who we are. And that your identity has a lot to do with you possessing your inheritance. And that one of the things we try to do is make sure that we know who we are as we go through here. So I'm going to talk about that just a little bit today. And also that this whole idea of fear, we want to get all the fear out of our lives. That Joshua was fearless. David was fearless. Joseph, fearless. Paul, fearless. Matter of fact, Paul said, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love of a sound mind. All right, let's read the next place. That's in Joshua. And read Joshua chapter, I'll start at Joshua chapter 1. And he says this, he says, verse 3, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. from this wilderness, even this Lebanon, into the great, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide, thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So this is land. Now, as we said, going into Canaan, in Canaan is a place where faith is no longer an option, but faith is going to be necessary. And faith is the access, gives us access to the supernatural. Now, in this place that we're going in, there are giants. And these giants in the natural are impossible to overcome. These Canaanites, Perizzites, all these, so these are spirits. These are strong men. And you can't overcome a strong man naturally. You're going to have something supernatural to overcome them. Now he says, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Let's see how he's with Moses. And if you go back here to Exodus chapter 20, pardon me, I said 20, make it 23. And let's see how he was with Moses. Verse 20, chapter 23 and verse 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into a place which I have prepared. Beware of him now and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, I'll be a enemy to your enemies, I'll be an adversary to your adversaries. For mine angel shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now we left off by asking a question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Put it up there, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, look what he says here. And he says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, what? Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, I want you to grab this, because what he's asking here is, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Not you able to do it. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Now, you're going into a land that he says, I'm going to cut them off. So you got to believe in his ability to cut them off. Your job is to believe in him. His job is to cut them off. Say amen to that. So this is very important now, because he's leading you into the impossible. I'm saying that you were designed for the impossible. Once you got born again, your spirit smiles at the impossible. It knows that now we're about to exert some faith, and this faith is going to get you to your destiny. So we've got to make sure that we believe that he is able to do this, and that just trusting God, faith in God, studying God, understanding God, so forth and so on, and it'll bring you there. So then he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, he didn't say according to your bank account. Come on, help me now. He didn't say according to your bank account. Now, here's what some people try to do. They try to have nothing in the bank and nothing in faith. Now, hear what I'm saying about that. I'm saying, don't be trying to move out on Bill Winston's faith. You got to have your faith. And what happens is people see me do things and get this or buy this or whatever have you, but I got the faith for it. And what I want you to have is have your own faith for it. Because you may not have the money in the bank, but you sure got some faith. That's what they said about me when I first went on radio here. And the guy asked him, because I said I wanted to go on, you know, God said, I want you to go on 5 days a week. And this particular person, the station manager, called the person I was staying with and said, "Hey, can Bill Winston afford 5 days a week?" She said, "I don't know if he got some money, but he sure got some faith." Well, that's what he says over in Isaiah 55 in verse 1. Over in Isaiah 55 in verse 1, he says that to everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. So faith is a currency that God recognizes to take the possession or your inheritance and put it in your hands. I said faith is a currency that God recognizes that will take what you believing him for and put it into your hands and will do it debt free. So faith will either get you the thing or the thing that gets the thing. Faith will either get you the thing or the thing that gets the thing. Say amen to that. All right, so we saw faith work many times in the Old Testament and the New. Now, as we go on through here, faith, we said, is a holder of your destiny. Now, God has a destiny for our lives. Let's put up there, please, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. This is a very common scripture to you, but just look at it. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord." Thoughts of what? Peace and not what? Evil. To give you what now? An expected end. So there's an expected end that God has already planned for your life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 in the Amplified translation. And let me just read that for you. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time," watch this, "that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." So God has already worked it out. I said God has already worked it out. And all you've got to do is walk it out. I said he's worked it out, now you walk it out. Now we're talking about the supernatural and get miracles and all that to flow, but we're going to have to get in God's plan. Glory to God. I like that. All right. Now, as we look at this, I was looking now at this mission that you and I have. And what Jesus came to do is he came to recover for us the quality of life that Adam had before the fall. He came to bring us back up to a level of operating like our Creator. I'll say it one more time. He came to bring us back up to living on the level of our Creator, our Father. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now you can do that. You can do that. Now, for that, what I did today in today's lesson, I want to go back to that for just a moment. I want to show you that God has planned for you to live on that level. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 8, please. Psalm chapter 8. Glory to God. Amen. Psalm chapter 8. Well, this is good. You know that? Psalm chapter 8. Now, in Psalm chapter 8, he says in verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man?" Now, you got to underline that. "That thou art mindful of him, of the Son of Man, that thou visiteth him." Visiteth him means that you have... yeah, have cared for him, taken special care of him. And look at the next verse. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Now that word angels there is Elohim, God. So you made man a little lower than God. Could you take that verse number, that same verse, and put it in a Message translation? Yet we've so narrowly missed being God's. Just narrowly missed. Now, what am I telling you now? I'm telling you, when God made man, when I say man, I mean mankind, he got mankind out of him. Mankind had everything God had in him, had his love, had his every system was work. Everything God had in him, he put in man. So man was a duplicate of God. I said man was a duplicate of God. So he made him that way because he was his son. He was meant to be operating on his level. All right, let's look at the next part of that same verse. Next verse. We have narrowly missed. Okay, next verse in the King James, please. Now, I'm taking my time, so you're going to get this. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, this is a key right here. Because when you're talking about dominion, you're talking about man having supremacy or rulership or the ability to govern everything else in the earth. Because he was going to govern everything God made. God, let there be light. Let there be. Adam's going to govern fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, everything. Adam's going to govern it. Now, this is man. Now, identity is key, because if you don't know who you are, it's going to be very difficult for you to have success in that land and territory. All right? So now, God made man. He finished everything, and at the end of that, he made a man. Then he said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, God bless this man. All right, now, he's releasing power upon this man, that this man is going to be able to continue the creation of God, what he started. He's going to continue creation of this. Lord have mercy. I got so much in here. All right, let me just give you what I got. So here's this man, and God's now, he's this man's got the blessing on his life. Look at Genesis 1:28. He said, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Got it. So now he had warned this man that this man was not to eat of a certain tree. And that's found in chapter 2 in verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely what? Die. All right? Now, die having to do with separated from God. Now, just hold your point now. I'm about to take you somewhere. So he blessed this man. God gave this man his ability. So he blessed it. Now, this man now is supposed to take this blessing and fulfill this commission on his life to make every place like this garden. Now, this man is powerful. Because of what I told you to underline, this is the subject of today's teaching, what is man? Because people don't know what man is. Now, this is how powerful man was. Now, remember what I said, Jesus came to bring us back up to that level of the creator, the level that we were first created. He came to bring us back up there, nothing missing, nothing broken. And matter of fact, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, put it up there, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, I think that's it. He said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So you can believe that every place he planted another garden, it got better. So the Garden of Eden was the worst condition man was going to live in. And not only that, that the end of a thing is better than the beginning, meaning that the atoms created today were better than the one that were created at first. Now you got it? Just go with me for a minute. Just go with me now. So here is Adam, and now he's doing what God called him to do, but he ate of that tree. Now once he did, he lost that blessing. He lost that power. He lost that thing that gave him the ability and the authority to spread this garden throughout the earth. So now when he lost it, this is what I want to deal with. Satan's temptation. So Satan tempted him. Now what I said last time when you were here, I took you to something because I wanted to make this real for you. This, what I'm talking about right now, I want to make it really real. So I took you to Job. And Job chapter 1 and verse 9. Now what happened to Job is that his family got, his kids got wiped out. I mean, they got killed. His business got wiped out, so forth and so on. And we started talking about that. Now over here, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Had that not made a hedge about him and about his house, about all that he had on every side? For thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, where is his substance? Let's go back to verse 3, and it'll show you what his substance is. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels. Now, I don't know whether you know, he didn't say 30 camels. He didn't say 300. He said how many? 3,000. Folks, that's a lot of property you got to have 3,000 camels. You got to feed them. And 500 yoke of oxen. That's two of them. I mean, this is what he had. So this is a financial statement. So now, if I come back to verse 10, look what he says again in verse 10. Have not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Now, what I did was look up the word hedge, because the average person just reads over that and just gets the enjoyment just out of reading it. But they don't have no idea what it means. And so I'm going to help you. I'm going to do your study for you this time. And so when I say hedge, go look it up in the concordance. And I looked it up. It's under 7753 in Strong's. He said, a hedge is pronounced in the Hebrew, sook, S-O-O-K. And it means to entwine. It means protection. It means restraint. Or fence. Well, we've sung that song, Jesus, be a fence, come on, all around me, every day. And we've sung that before. I even looked up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, because that's the one that I told you it has scripture out there with it. And it said a hedge. It says this, to surround for defense. It means to fortify. It means to enclose for preventive, to prevent escape. It means to hide as in a hedge. So I said, let me look at this. Let's see what this was. I said, you know what that was. That was over in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I went to 2 Kings chapter 6 over there. And I look at that, and this is when Elisha had had a problem where the enemy Syrian army was coming after him, because he was telling the secrets of where this Israel, telling the secrets of Israel where the Syrian army was going to attack. So they said, go get him. So they went by night and surrounded the city of Dothan. So here's his servant getting up in the morning. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, how shall we do? How shall we do? Then he answered, fear not. Now, what did I tell you about fear? Fear connects you or person with death. Fear connects with death. Now, don't think death is just cessation of life if somebody's not breathing anymore. There are degrees of death. If you get sick enough, you will what? You will stop breathing. So we want to get rid of everything that represents death. Represents death. So what happens here is fear tries to connect a person or connects a person with death. Watch this, and holds them. Now let's see that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Over in Romans 8, 14, he talks about this whole idea, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the who of God? Sons of God. That means mature offspring. Has nothing to do with gender. For you have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to what? Fear. Bondage to fear. So the enemy will try to put fear on God's people to keep them from leaving fear. You got what I'm saying? See, if he wants to govern their lives, he sends a Hittite. He sends a terror spirit, a spirit of fear. Something that you fear. Fear getting old. Fear of the internet. Fear people thinking I'm that. Fear that. Fear I'm too young. Fear I can't speak. Fear I can't. Fear I don't want to fly. Fear I don't want to. Some kind of fear, because he knows it'll spread. So he comes with this fear, and this fear is a bondage, because what it does is it connects a person with that spirit of fear, who is Satan. And now Satan feeds them. Satan, whatever he's got, comes through that umbilical. And understand, we are not to fear, because fear brings bondage. It brings a person into torment. Satan can conduct their lives. So God wants us to break from the spirit of fear, and you can't serve two masters. You got to either love one or hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. And I'm telling you, you need to see and do some G2 on your life and see what you fear. Because you need to face your fears and say, wait a minute, I'm getting fear out of my life. Because fear will cause you in that land to not inherit your inheritance. Lord have mercy. So this death is there. And Satan wants this death to be in a person's life and fearing death. Look, put it up, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he talks about this same thing. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus, likewise, took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the what? Power of death, that is who? The devil. Keep going. And deliver them who through what? Fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the enemy's job is to get you to fear that this won't work out. Get you to fear going broke. Get you to fear, man, when he starts telling you that, put it all into play. When he's trying to tell you going broke, you get the boldest presentation that you ever had and go before whoever he didn't expect you to go for and say, this is what I got. Say amen. But once you do that, faith kicks in. And faith brings God on the scene and compels him to work on your behalf, bringing to manifestation whatever he got. And God's got nothing but life. I said, God's got nothing but life. So it's amazing what this fear will do. Okay, let's go back over there, because this is what apparently happened in Job's life. Look what he says here in Job chapter 3 in verse 25. Look what he said. Now the enemy talked him into this, see? He talked him into this. This is what Job 3:25, please. And he talked him into this. He said, the thing which I what? Greatly feared what? Has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come to me. So the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. So fear will draw what you don't want, just like faith will draw what you do want. Say amen to that. And folks, you can get rid of fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Say amen to that. He said, though I walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Why? thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See? Now, notice what he's doing now. He's going to send you in a land full of giants, and they know some stuff up in there. And I'm saying that there is no place for you to start fearing, because God's got your back. I said, God's got your back. Let's look at it. Let's look at Psalm 91 and verse 5, please. Let's start there. Psalm 91 and verse 5. He said, though thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that waits at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Watch this. For he shall give his who? Angels charge over you, and what? Keep you in how many of your ways? All your ways. God's gonna give your angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. Now, what we know in that land is that when we go in there, there's gonna be a hedge. I said there's gonna be a hedge around us. And we got to remember that when that hedge comes around us, he warned Moses. He said, now don't talk against your angels. If you look at the, Lord have mercy, I got to show you this. So look at Exodus again, chapter 23. Now look at verse 20 again, Exodus 23 and verse 20. Glory to God. Are y'all with me here? In 23 and 20, notice what he said. Behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way. Now notice what he told Joshua. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So as I've been Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. As I've been Bill Winston, I'm going to be with you. Now notice he got a hedge around it. Jesus, make a fence all around me every day. You know what I'm saying? We sing about it now. We're trying to figure out what we're singing about. And I sent an angel before you to keep you in your way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Watch this. Beware of him now and obey his voice. Don't provoke him. Don't speak against him. Well, let's look at what Job did. Look at Job chapter 6, please. And over in Job chapter 6, let's start reading at verse 23. Here's Job chapter 6. He said, oh, deliver me from the enemy's hand. Redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me and I will do what to my tongue? I'm going to hold my tongue and cause me to understand where I have what? Aaron. Now, he's trying to figure out. He said, wait a minute. This wasn't God trying to put something on me. That's what's been preached. I'm talking about this genetically altered Christianity. It's been preached that it was Job trying to put something on, God trying to put something on Job because he was testing him to see how much he could bear and all of that kind of stuff. And that wasn't nothing but garbage. It was something that was designed to keep you and me out of our inheritance. They weren't doing it on purpose. They were just ignorant about it. And they taught some people some stuff that wasn't God. Say amen. But if you come in here, I'm going to teach it out. Because you got to get your house. You got to get, I'm talking about debt free. I'm talking about car debt free. Now, I know we've used this scripture. No weapon formed against me prospers. Am I right about it? But let's really look at that scripture in the Message translation. And let's look at that scripture. This starting at verse 11. This is Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 11. Look at it now. God showed me this. Afflicted city, storm battered, uplifted. I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundation with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stones. He's talking to you now. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. Lord have mercy. You talking about tutors, glory to God. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any troubling, nothing to fear, far from terror, it won't come close. Glory, even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. Come on now. Well, you know, God is testing me, honey. Well, go back to the Word of God And if any should be attacked, should attack, nothing will come of it. So if anybody attacks you, nothing will come of it. I create the blacksmith who fires up the forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer. Watch this now. But no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. Man, this is your stuff. Now, this is you. See, this whole idea of being hung up in court for weeks and months and some years. Hung up in court, man. I don't care what it's about. That's not your inheritance. God's got work for you to do. He ain't got time for you to be in court. You can shift the atmosphere, honey. You got so much power. Put that scripture up there. Let me just finish that. Praise God. He said this. But no weapon that can hurt you. Dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. I said for the best. This is you he's talking about. Now don't let Satan negotiate you out of your stuff. Bread comes with this. When you get born again, you got this. Say amen. So when you say from now on, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, you're loosing angels, and all of this is coming to pass in your life. You see, the word of God, you got to put more faith in that than what you can see. Amen. Why? Because the word of God is so strong, it made all of this. Yes. It can certainly change all of this.
Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing more powerful than that word.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you this. So what happened with Adam? What happened with this deal? Now, Job, the Bible says over in chapter 42 of Job, God returned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, he was held captive. Why? That spirit, that fear spirit. Mm-hmm. And you got to shake loose from that thing.
Amen.
And God will always lead you into a way that you'll take a step of faith.
Yes.
And faith and human logic don't go together. Tell you that right now, okay? Now, Adam, what is man? Because this is the key. You gotta have some understanding of your identity if you're gonna go in there and do what God's called you to do. He said, well, let's look at Adam. Let's look at Adam. Adam had dominion over what? The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, come on, the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Adam had dominion over creeps. All right. Now, what happened when he sinned? Okay. When he sinned, he lost dominion. He lost his status. He lost his headship. He lost his fellowship with God. And his faith turned to fear. And if you look at Genesis chapter 3 and starting at verse 8, he said this to him. He said, And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Watch this. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Now, he's not talking about his location. He's talking about his position. He has fallen from headship. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. Because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" See, he hadn't seen his body. "Has thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave me." Oh, Lord have mercy. He'd been doing that all up till today. "She gave me the tree and I did eat." Watch this. Then God goes on. And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." What does beguile mean? He tricked me. He deceived me. And she was deceived. Adam was not. Now watch this. Now what I want to tell you is, what is man now? We're still after that. So when he sinned, the curse was released. The blessing flipped. And an idea of the power of the blessing that was on him can be seen in the curse. Now this curse cursed the earth from top to bottom. Everything was struck. Everything that moved, every molecule, everything that existed on this planet, the dirt, the sea, the fish, the vegetation, the animals, everything was cursed. The lion started eating the lamb. Everything was cursed. Everything that swims, everything that flies, every piece of atmosphere, everything was cursed. Everything that crawls, everything was cursed. Why? Because of the power that was coming through one man. Now, I want you to see this. What is man? If you go just as a social experiment, even to a ghetto, and see buildings all torn out and screens all torn out and windows broken, just talk to the people and watch what's broken in them is manifested. Y'all, come on with me. I'm saying you don't need a saved man. Even an unsaved man's got power because of the way he's made. Y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Put up that Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Watch this. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart," what happens? The mouth speaks. Next verse, please. "A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth" what? "Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of the heart bring forth" what kind of thing? "Evil things." See, where do those things come from? They come from the spirit of a man. It's so powerful. Now, what am I telling you? Satan doesn't have the power. The only power he's using is what you got. He doesn't have that power. A man is made so much further, higher than Satan ever was made. He doesn't have that power. A man's got that. An unsaved man is the most dangerous thing on this planet. Because he can build something without God. You better hear what I'm telling you. You go back to Genesis chapter 11 and see that. These people said, "Let us build a tower up to heaven." And so these weren't full gospel businessmen. These were devil worshipers. Yes. Yes.
What's coming out of a man's heart is powerful. He's made so powerful. What is man? That's why you got to get him saved, because he can talk himself to death. You take a man and he's headed somewhere and just change his speech. It'll turn his whole body. He ain't even saved. Now when he gets saved and get that blessing on him, you got some kind of person. You walk down a street several days and decree things into the atmosphere where they shooting people, and soon they won't shoot no more. Because you can shift the whole zip code. You just speak it. That's what it's about over in Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Can I teach you all something here? The devil lost his power. He can only now deceive. He can try to condemn or try to tempt. Those three things. If he could kill you, he'd just kill you. You're too high above him. You are seated with God in heavenly places. Man, you, man is something. And for them to go around shooting each other like they're no value. And this person is made in the image of God. God couldn't even get you saved with money. He had to spend the power of his own son's blood to get you into the kingdom, because nothing else was valuable enough. You were in hock and he had to get you out of the pawn shop. Come on now. Don't think about your mind, people. Well, I'm getting old, you know, my mind ain't what it used to be. You got the mind of Christ. The only reason it ain't what it used to be is because you think it ain't what it used to be. But it's better than it used to be. Everything about you is different. Even if the body parts are failing, I'm going to get you up there. We can order new body parts. How do I know it's new? Because in the book of Revelation, he says he's made all things new. You got new knees, new hips, new joints, new, come on. He made it so when 120 years old gets here, you live it long and strong. When you get that royal anointing on you, that kingly anointing, then you won't have to beg nobody for nothing. Money cometh. You come on now, see, God. I'm taking y'all too far now, y'all can't get it. Where did I tell you to turn? I told you somewhere. Mark 4, look what it said. In the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. This is Jesus now. Watch this now. And then, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Watch this. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Watch this. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. Faith is always a rest. Yes. And they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Watch this. And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what?
Faith.
And look what they said. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind, the sea, and the zip code obey him? Come on now. Jesus said, the things that I do, come on, you can do them too. Folks, you got something to say about every place the sole of your foot comes. What am I saying? Look at the power that came out of this man. It affected everything. Everything. Out of one man.
God planned for every person on earth to have that power. That's what makes you like God. He said, didn't I say in my word that you are gods? And all of you are children of the Most High. But if you don't realize this, you're going to die like men. That's what he said in Psalm 82. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to get you in touch with who you really are. And let me tell you, all you got to do is know it. Because when you know it, everything changes. Watch this. Your speech will change. Come on, your habits are going to change. Because who you are is royalty. That's all I got. Give God praise. I'm going to have to quit now. We're still having service. Our service is not over yet. If you have an emergency, I understand. If you don't, try to plan on next time you come to come and sit in our old service. How did I do? I'm telling you right now, God is waking something up inside of this Joshua generation. You're going to be able to decree a thing, and it's going to happen. I'm talking about decree business, decree increase. He said, even if they take you to court, he gonna make them so that they lie. They gonna be found out to be a liar. The only thing I'm asking you to do is just don't take this word just one day. Study what I told you. Study it, man. You're struggling because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Well, I was born down in Mississippi. My cousin was so. Hey, okay, wait a minute. I understand that. But just there's a higher calling than you have. You are a child of God. Everything he has in him, you have in you. Oh, I tell you, that was a message for you. That was your graduation message right there. You get that teacher. You know, where he's taking you, like I said, is extravagant. It really is. If you don't see yourself right, where he's taking you will look like it's too good for you. So you can't receive it. I got news for you. You change the way you see you. And you'll change the way God do you. It's nothing. Thank you for coming in here and looking nice and so forth. That's all right. But what is your inner man? What do you really believe? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Boy, I enjoyed that myself. It's time for miracles. And God is taking us into them.